With David Hyde, I'm Ross Reynolds. We have come a long way in the 25 years since the internet became part of our lives. Our zombie-like obsession with our digital devices is only the most obvious sign. But what will the future of the internet bring us? The Pew Research Center asked 1,600 experts to peer into their crystal balls and make an educated guess about what the internet would be like in the year 2025. And that report is out this morning. We're joined by Lee Rainey, who's director of the Pew Research Center. Thanks for joining us, Lee.
Hi, Ross. Nice to be with you.
So the headline here is that the Internet of Things is the next phase of the digital revolution. What is the Internet of Things?
Well, probably a lot of your audience already knows that there are more connected devices in the world than there are connected humans. We actually passed that milestone a couple of years ago. The Internet of Things is all of the gadgets and artifacts and sensors that are now connected and ever more will be connected as more and more of them enter our lives. We're just at the dawn of a revolution in wearable devices, you know, Google Glass, smart watches, pieces of clothing that have connectivity in them. Pretty soon our appliances are going to get smarter and have more connectivity. Rooms we walk into, cars, drones, there are a whole lot of things that don't involve human interventions that will be speaking to each other and affecting the world.
So is this going to usher in a new age of convenience or some kind of horrific 1984 future for us?
Well, the experts we talked to said a little bit of both. There will be ways in which our devices will serve us better and life will feel more convenient, maybe safer, maybe a bit healthier, particularly if those health apps are monitoring us and getting us into some kind of care before things get too dire. So there will be benefits, these experts say, but they also say all of this stuff that's monitoring us and feeding information to us, gathering information from us, holds out the possibility that we will be ever more carefully tracked, maybe ever more carefully profiled, maybe ever more carefully predicted. And so maybe we'll have a little less maneuvering room because the machines will only serve up to us things that they think that we want to have.
Now, that's if all these things work. Another conclusion from your experts about the future of the internet, stuff will not work and we won't know how to fix it. What?
Yeah, we'll lead to really complex problems. Right now, the world is shaped around a variety of gadgets that have a variety of discrete connections to us and to the things we want. Fitting all these things together, making sure that our smart toaster talks to our smart refrigerator, which talks to our smart alarm clock, which feeds data into our smart car, that's a really complicated process. And we know that as the complexity of systems grows, the chances that they will break grows, and the chances are that there will be unintended consequences that are hard to anticipate before you get into the mess.
Lee, I've finally gotten to the point where I trust having my music in the cloud because it's probably more reliable than me having it on a hard drive at home. But there is this kind of lingering fear that because of all the interconnectedness and the convenience that goes along with it, we'll be totally lost without it. We shudder to think about our computers breaking down here. We don't even have the computers in the back room to put the typewriters in the back room to bring out anymore.
There'll probably be life hacks that help us get through those downtimes, Ross. You know, one of the common definitions of technology is it's anything that's been invented since you grew up. So when you grow up in an era where electricity is ubiquitous and you know nothing but life without electricity, you don't even think of it as a system that is essential to your life until it's out of your life. But we still stockpile batteries and lanterns and flashlights and candles just in case. And my guess is, and a bunch of these experts said, we'll come up with a sort of sufficient plans when the internet goes down, because as it becomes more important, of course, it becomes a bigger target. So there are suspicions and fears that hackers, bad actors of all kinds, will find it very profitable to make mischief on the internet. And so I think you're right that we're going to become more dependent on it even as we worry about that.
I'm speaking with Lee Rainey. He directs the Pew Research Center. And recently they went to 1,600 experts to ask them, what will the internet be like in the year 2025? And one of the things they conclude, actually the headline here, is that it will be the Internet of Things, the internet much more pervasive than it is now. Now, we already can talk to Siri and use a little bit of voice recognition. Will we be using our thumbs and keyboards to communicate with computers in 2025, Lee?
Probably not as much. The interfaces are going to change, and we don't necessarily have to use a mouse or use a keyboard or even swipe necessarily. With the speaking and voice interfaces are going to grow. There are folks now who are working quite hard on maybe anticipating through your eye movements or through your skin temperature what you might need. The predictive analytics will maybe even give you choices and options and things before you even think of them yourself. And so a lot of this will fade into the background. We won't necessarily be interacting with our gadgets as much as we currently do, according to these experts. But there's talk about a mind-to-computer interaction, and most of these experts think that's a little bit far off. It won't be happening by 2025, but there are folks who are working on it.
I've seen some early experiments with that, the idea that a disabled person could use their mind to move something in the real world, but the experts you talk to think that's not really going to be here by 2025?
Not in a widespread way. Yes, there's a lot of effort to help people who are paralyzed and who otherwise have difficulty getting around with things, but that'll be where a lot of the focus is. It won't be necessarily for the common stuff for the wide population.
And with this interconnectedness, of course, a lot of concerns about privacy. There are already heightened concerns now that we know that the federal government has been collecting data about our phone calls. But the people you spoke to, what do they say about these concerns increasing because of advances in the internet?
Their concerns probably are shaped by the fact that they were taking this survey in the fall, and so stories about the NSA surveillance programs were very top of mind for them. But their big point is that as all of this connected environment, all of our gadgets, like our smartphones and things like that, collect ever more data on us and feed it into systems that allow more work and manipulation of that data, more profiling of us, more anticipation of our needs based on the algorithms that they are developing. There's a thought that humans will lose some capacity to make decisions for themselves, to be their own free agents, and to potentially be the victim of all of this data, giving people who control the data very strong capacity to profile them and sort of feed them what they want. So there's a huge underlying concern that the big data that are generated by the environment of the Internet of Things will make it easier for people to be under surveillance and to be manipulated because of that. There are a couple of technologists who are thinking beyond that and sort of saying, why don't we think about turning technology in our favor? It gives human beings a lot of power to control a lot of information. Why couldn't it be personal information, too? So there's one of the really interesting responses came from a guy named Doc Searles, who's at Harvard and works for the Linux Foundation, who talks about how maybe we will have our own capacity to set the limits by which we're monitored, to be more in control of telling organizations that are monitoring us, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can do this, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking that the empowering capacity of technology will be in individuals' hands as well as organizations' hands.
Lee, one final question. We know that expert predictions are notoriously inaccurate. It's not the first time you've talked to experts about the future of the Internet, is it?
No, this is the sixth time we've
talked. Okay, so my question is, how accurate have their previous predictions been?
They're pretty good, and partly
what's the score?
We're not asking individual, we're just not relying on individual predictions, but we're sort of putting them together and assessing broad themes and trends in the answers. And by and large, we did this work, our first survey in the year 2004. They anticipated a lot of what life was going to be like in 2014. They foresaw the disruption in publishing and lots of other things.
Well, you can check out this report that Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Research Center, and I have been talking about. It's at our website, kuow.org. You'll find a link to that. Hey, Lee, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Ross.
It's The Record on KUOW.